I've been reading Mark Twain's autobiography. With the recent 100th anniversary of the extinction of the passenger pigeon, I found Twain's childhood memories of them fascinating. He wrote, "I remember the pigeon season when the birds would come in millions and cover the trees and by their weight break down the branches. They were clubbed to death with sticks. Guns were not necessary and were not used." Twain also wrote a hilarious account of hunting for turkeys. I've had to abridge it for the radio, but the entire unedited story is on my blog at lauraerickson.blogspot.com. In the first faint gray of the dawn, the stately wild turkeys would be stalking around in great flocks and ready to be sociable and answer invitations to come and converse with other excursionists of their kind. The hunter concealed himself and imitated the turkey call by sucking the air through the leg bone of a turkey which had previously answered a call like that and lived only just long enough to regret it. There is nothing that furnishes a perfect turkey call except that bone. Another of nature's treacheries, you see. She gives the turkey a bone to be used in getting it into trouble, and she also furnishes it with a trick for getting itself out of the trouble again. When a mama turkey answers an invitation and finds she has made a mistake in accepting it, she does as the mama partridge does, remembers a previous engagement and goes limping and scrambling away, pretending to be very lame. And at the same time, she is saying to her not visible children, "Lie low, keep still, don't expose yourselves. I shall be back as soon as I have beguiled this shabby swindler out of the country." Mark Twain goes on, "I followed an ostensibly lame turkey over a considerable part of the United States one morning because I believed in her and could not think she would deceive a mere boy and one who was trusting her and considering her honest. I had the single-barreled shotgun, but my idea was to catch her alive. I often got within rushing distance of her and then made my rush, but always, just as I made my final plunge and put my hand down where her back had been, it wasn't there. It was only 2 or 3 inches from there, and I brushed the tail feathers as I landed on my stomach, just close enough to convince me that I could do it next time. She always waited for me a little piece away and led on to be resting and greatly fatigued, which was a lie, but I believed it, for I still thought her honest long after I ought to have been suspecting that this was no way for a high-minded bird to be acting. I followed and followed and followed, making my periodical rushes and getting up and brushing the dust off and resuming the voyage with patient confidence, indeed with a confidence which grew, for I could see by the change of climate and vegetation that we were getting up into the high latitudes, and as she always looked a little tireder and more discouraged after each rush, I judged that I was safe to win in the end, the competition being purely a matter of staying power and the advantage lying with me from the start because she was lame. Along in the afternoon, I began to feel fatigued myself. More than once after I was very tired, I gave up taking her alive and was going to shoot her, but I never did, although it was my right, for I did not believe I could hit her, and besides, she always stopped and posed when I raised the gun, and this made me suspicious that she knew about me and my marksmanship, and so I did not care to expose myself to remarks. I did not get her at all. When she got tired of the game at last, she rose from almost under my hand and flew aloft with the rush and whirr of a shell and lit on the highest limb of a great tree and sat down and crossed her legs and smiled down at me and seemed gratified to see me so astonished, ashamed, and lost. That was Mark Twain from his autobiography, and I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.